morning or this afternoon, I want to look again at God's word today. God's word feeds our souls. Amen. Yeah? Sometimes it challenges us. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes it encourages us.
Amen.
Sometimes it informs us.
Amen.
But it is his word and it always nourishes us. Will you pray with me? Would you bow your head for a moment as we look at God's word this morning? Father in heaven, thank you for your eternal and living word. We thank you, Lord, that as we look at it this morning, we can expect the nourishment of heaven, Lord. We pray today, Lord, that our ears would be opened. Would anyone say amen?
Amen.
That our eyes would be opened, that our hearts would be encouraged and uplifted by your kindness, Lord. Bless us as we listen to your word in Jesus' name and the people of God say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. No, you'll be disappointed because this morning I have no map.
Oh.
I have no song.
Oh.
And I have no quote from C.S. Lewis.
Oh.
Will we finish up? We just leave it there? I want to talk to you today about facing facts with faith. Having faith in your heart. Because you know, sometimes, maybe it's just me, life can be hard. Has anybody ever experienced life being hard? If you haven't put your hand up, you're a damn liar. Life can be hard sometimes. And sometimes we hit things that are really, really difficult in life. And sometimes we hit challenges that are very hard to overcome. I want to look this morning at some scriptures where a man that we looked at just last week, a guy called Abraham, faced some difficult facts in his life. But he did so with faith. Now, I want to make this point really early on so that we're all on the same page. And if I repeat it several times, I know you won't hold it against me. Sure you won't?
Oh.
We need to repeat things, not so that we can learn, but that so we can remind ourselves. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, this is what I want to say. If you are in pain, faith does not say, I'm not in pain.
Amen.
If you are in trouble, faith does not say, I'm not in trouble. If you are suffering or you're struggling, faith does not say, I'm not suffering and I'm not struggling. That is fake, not faith. If you, in your Christian life, go around pretending there's nothing ever wrong with you and you never have any difficulties, you will never win anybody to the faith. Let me tell you why. Because it is fake and it's not truthful living. People will be impressed by you when you go through hard times in your life with faith. And by faith, that's what will bring glory to God. If you want your life to bring glory to God, you face the facts of your life as being difficult, and you say, but with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
And I look to him. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So are we all kind of on the same page? Because
yes.
I want to talk to you about an old man whose hope was long since extinguished. I talked about him last week. His name is Abram. He was called Abram, then became known as Abraham. God gave an extra H in his name when he became the father of many nations. And God gave him some amazing promises. If you were watching last week, I was talking about Abraham's inheritance. He gave him three key promises. The first promise he gave him was that he would be the father of many, many descendants, that he would be the father of nations. The second promise is that he would take and own the land of Canaan. And the third promise was that he would be a blessing to all the nations around him. However, when he died, he still only got one son of the promise, a guy called Isaac. He had not yet become a blessing to the nations, no evidence of that. And when he died, he owned what the martyr Stephen said, not a square foot of land of all that God had promised him. And yet he still believed that God would do what he's going to do. He still believed. So sometimes we hope and we pray and we expect and we have to sometimes even look beyond our circumstances and our lives to see the fulfillment of God's promises because God always does what he says. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let's look just for briefly at one of the passages I used last week. Remember the story? God called Abraham out of his tent. It's under a beautiful Middle Eastern sky. The Milky Way is visible. The stars are like jewels. And God says, come outside, Abraham. I want to show you something. And he says, take a look up. And this is what God says. He says, the Lord took Abraham outside and he said to him, look up into the sky. Count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. Wow. God speaks audibly to Abraham. a Middle Eastern clear night 4,000 years ago and says, this is how many descendants you will have. Hallelujah. And it says this, that Abraham believed the Lord and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. So he looked up to the unbelievable sky with the unbelievable number of stars. And he believed what God said. He actually believed it. He actually believed that despite what was going on in his life, that despite all the hurdles and hindrances and hassles that he was facing, that God was going to fulfill his promise. That's what God was going to do for him. But by the time we get to this part of the story, Abram and his wife Sarah had undergone decades of childlessness. Decades had passed. Decades, they'd been married for years and still no sign of a child. And yet God said to him, you're going to have descendants as numerous as the stars and as many as the grains on the sand on the seashore. That's how many descendants you will have. That for me would have been hard to believe. But Abraham believed the Lord. He accepted God's promise. Do you accept God's promise for your life? Do you accept that God wants to bless your life? Do you accept what God wants to do in your life? I'm going to follow the narrative arc into the New Testament. We're going to go now to Romans chapter 4, where Paul breaks up some of what was going on here, and he talks about it and he applies it to our lives. And in sum, he's saying that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all the promises that God made to Abraham. When Abraham came, the descendants that he had, or when Jesus came, the descendants that Abraham had numbered many millions. Now, since Jesus came, the number of descendants that Abraham has, descendants of faith, number in the billions. The church exploded, and as a result, and these were all children of Abraham, the promise that was made to Abraham. Are you with me so far? Are you bored yet?
No.
We'll bore you, I don't know, in a second. Okay, we'll get to that. Let's look at Romans chapter 4. Here's what the scripture records in Romans chapter 4. Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life. We sang about it just a minute ago. Jesus was dead in the grave, and God brought him back to life and appointed him and gave him authority over heaven and earth. God brings the dead back to life. Dead situations in your life, God brings back to life. God is on the move. He hasn't changed in nature. He is always bringing the dead back to life. And one who creates new things out of nothing. He creates new things out of nothing. Is God the same as he was back in Abraham's day? Yes, he was the same, just as he was back in Abraham's day. He is the same God. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God who brings new things out of nothing. It says in the beginning, God said, let there be. And what happened? Whoa, there was life. Suddenly a dark universe springs to life because God said, let there be light. Ex nihilo, out of nothing. Paul continues. He says, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, quoting from Genesis 15, that's how many descendants you will have. So as his life goes on, and we'll get to that in a second, as his life goes on, and the greater the likelihood of this promise being fulfilled in his life becomes less and less, his hope continues. He keeps on hoping, keeps on believing that God would do what he said he would do and make him the father of many nations, for that's what God had said. And Abraham, and I think we need to be the same, Abraham takes God at his word. And when we take God at his word, we live a life of peace.
Amen.
We live a life of rest. We live a life of gracious expectation of what God can do in our lives and through our lives and for our lives. When we take God at his word.
Amen.
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 Let's look at it. So Abraham doesn't go into denial. Denial is the river in Egypt. It's not the Nile you want to be going to. He doesn't go into denial about his situation. Here's what the scripture actually says. Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. And that Abraham, and so was Sarah's womb. So when Abraham looked in the mirror, if he had mirrors 4,000 years ago, he looked in the mirror and he didn't see a bristling, brawny young fellow who's ready to go to Baywatch. He saw a decrepit, broken down, 100-year-old man. And he looked in the mirror at 100 years of age and he said, God is still going to do it. I know God is going to do it. He didn't see it in and of himself. And the thing is, he didn't look to himself. He looked to God. He looked to God. He didn't look at his own weakness. He looked at God's strength. He didn't look at his own inability. He looked at God's ability. He looked at his body and he faced the fact. I'm nearly 100 years of age. The last person I heard having a baby in their 80s was Mick Jagger. I mean, I'm not Mick Jagger, Abraham said to himself. I don't got the moves anyway. He's nearly 100 years of age, right? And he's facing this reality and he's looking at his own body. And he knows what his body is like. I'm not 100 years of age, and I know what my body is like. And he looks at his poor old wife, Sarah, who's just sitting there knitting, and he goes, oh no, Sarah's goosed as well. She's well past that. She's finished. Poor old Sarah. He's looking at her, and she smiles up at him, her toothless grin. And then he goes, oh no, we're going to have a baby. But Abraham, he still believed. He said, well, God said it, and that's the end of the matter. Wow, that's faith. God said it, and that's the end of the matter. No matter how bad my body is, no matter how bad her body is, God can still do this. Because he faced the facts. And one of the facts he had to face was what they call the facts of life. If you are educated in the Irish education system, we had a thing called the facts of life. Does anybody remember being educated in the facts of life? Somewhere about four of us, you see. That was in the days of conservative education, when we were educated by nuns and priests who told us facts about life that they hadn't learned themselves. But that's another day's work. It was about the birds and the bees, if you know what I'm saying. It was about reproduction, recreation. That's what it was. And so, well, recreation, producing, reproduction, doesn't matter. You have to be there. But when we were all teenage boys, we went into school in secondary class and they said, well, today we're going to talk about the facts of life. And a bristle of excitement and expectation went around the room because it was talking about where little babies come from and where boys and girls. Now, when we were all teenagers, trust me, we knew where babies come from. We knew already. We were just delighted of the opportunity to talk about it and ask some very, very awkward questions. But Abraham, he knew the facts of life. He knows what it takes to have a baby. He knows what's involved in the process. And yet he still faces the fact that his body is well beyond it. Sarah's body is well beyond it. But God's word is not beyond it. God's word is still true. It is still real. Having looked at his wife, he knows the facts. And he faces them with faith. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger and he brought glory to God. He never wavered. Like, if you met Abraham, you know, on the street, or you met him in a coffee house in Jerusalem, or Jebus as it was called back in then, if you met him in Canaan and went for a cup of coffee and said, Abraham, how are you getting on? Ah, we're doing good. How's Sarah? Grant, sure, look, we're hoping to have a baby any day. Abraham, I think you might want to let that one off, to be honest with you. You want to give up on that one? I'd leave that off if I was you. And no, he says, no, God has told me we're going to have a baby. And then poor old Sarah would come in, hello, how are you? And go, oh, no, poor old Sarah. What's ahead of poor old Sarah? Like? But it says that he never wavered. He believed it. God said, I'm going to do it, and he's going to do it. And that's it. Hallelujah. There's a great story in the Gospels of a man who comes and tells Jesus that his son is dying. And he comes, he says, Lord, my son is dying. Please come to my house and heal him. Please come to my house and heal him. But Jesus said, you can go. Your son will be made well. There's this great phrase that says, the man took Jesus at his word and went home. And when he got home, his son had been healed. At the same time when Jesus had said, your son will be made well. Hallelujah. He took God at his word. Do we take him at his word? And I love it. It says, in fact, his faith grew stronger. So, as it became more and more difficult as a human for Abraham, whose system may not have been functioning to the premium levels at that stage, the further and more remote it became, likely for him as a human, the more his faith grew, because then he said, no, I'm completely out of the equation. It has to be God or bust. It has to be God. If it's not God, then it's definitely not going to happen. His faith grew stronger, and in that, he brought glory to God. How do you bring glory to God? By your faith in him. By your faith in him. By telling people, God is going to work this situation out. I don't know how, and I don't know when, but God is going to work this situation out. That is how we bring glory to God. And Jesus marveled at two things: great faith and great doubt. He marveled at those two things. But in particular, he marveled at great faith. Why? Because greater the faith, the greater honor God gets. The more honor God gets, the more we have faith in him, the more honor God gets. In fact, his faith grew stronger. Now, if you were to read this story, or read Abraham's story back in Genesis, you kind of wouldn't get the impression that he had very strong faith and truth, because he got himself into a couple of jams that he kind of snuck his way out of by telling pork pies, lies as we call them. He told lies and untruths. He kind of tried to pass his own wife off as his sister with two guys, Abimelech, one guy, Pharaoh, another guy, because he was afraid. He literally threw his wife under the bus so that he would be safe. I mean, he didn't have an awful lot of courage, and in some ways when you look at his life, he didn't have an awful lot of bravery and an awful lot of faith. But it says here that his faith didn't weaken. Wow. Let's see what he continues on. He was fully convinced that God was able to do whatever he promises. Can you see the repeated emphasis? God can do, God can do, God can do what we can't do. Can you see it? That's the repeated emphasis. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. God said, yeah, you're a good guy. You are right before me because you trust in me. And it goes on to say this: God will also count us righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead.
Amen.
From the dead. From the dead. He raised him from the dead. And if we believe that too, God will count us as righteous. The scripture says in Romans chapter 10, if we believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead and we confess with our mouths, we will be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He believed. Do you believe that God raised the Lord Jesus from the dead? If you do, will you raise your hand? There's a lot of people in this room believe that God raises the dead. Can he raise the dead situation in your life?
Amen.
Can he raise the dead relationship in your life? Can he raise the dead circumstance in your life? Can he raise the dead finances and the dead career in your life? Can he raise those things? Yes, he can.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I love what Tim Keller, the Christian writer, he's passed away now, from 1950 to 2023 he lived. But he has this great quote about faith. You see, because when I look at Abraham's life, right, and I see what he did with his wife, and you have to read the story, let's just say he wasn't the most impressive guys at certain stages in his life, no more than any of us. Can I get an amen? Anyway, this is what Tim Keller says about Abraham's faith and about our faith. It's really important that we get this. He said, it's not the strength of your faith, but the object of your faith that actually saves you. So it's the object, what you put faith in is what saves you. No matter how strong, I've got great faith. If you've got great faith in something that's weak, it's not going to work out very well. In fact, he finishes off this way. He says, strong faith in a weak branch is fatally inferior to weak faith in a strong branch. Do you see the point he's making? You don't? That's okay, let me explain it if you don't get the point. What he's saying is that even our weak faith, however weak it is, if it is trusted in, if it is put in the strong object that is God our Savior, it is way better than us having loads of faith in whatever weak branch we're currently sitting on. You see, the weak branches that we sit on, our career, that's not going to save you. You discover it to be a weak branch all of a sudden. That's not going to save you. Your education, that's not going to save you. No matter how much faith you have in your education, no matter how much faith you have in your bank account, no matter how much faith you have in your talents, your gifts, your abilities, no matter how much faith you have in the abundance in your life, no matter how much faith you put in your background, these are all just weak branches that will eventually fall off. Jesus is the strong branch. He is the branch upon which we lean. He is described by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 21 as being the branch of Jesse. He is the one that the whole world can lean on and it will not break. Hallelujah. He's the one everyone can lean on and that branch will not break. So if you are struggling today with your faith, if you say, look, today my faith is weak, put it in a strong branch. Put it in Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get an amen? See, because for Abraham, his faith would be tested. You see, faith that is not tested is not faith at all. You see, that young fella climbing up, I know when the illustration was a bit west last week, but that's okay. That young fella sitting on that branch is testing the strength of that branch. If he sits on it, it means that he believes that branch. The only way to know that you have faith is for that faith to be tested. So can I say to you, brothers and sisters, if you're going through a test at the moment, if your faith is being tested, if the future you hoped for, believed for, trust for, feels further away than ever, don't worry. It's just a test of your faith. And God tests our faith sometimes, doesn't he? He doesn't wrap us in cotton wool. Can I get an amen? He doesn't wrap up your life in cotton wool. You will find yourselves in situations where our faith must be tested. There's no point in my son coming home to me and say, Dad, I got an A in honors maths. Wow, that's fantastic. When was the exam? Oh, I didn't do any exam. They just gave me an A on a piece of paper and said, that's for you. That's not a good result. The result comes from the test. That's where the result comes from. And Abram's faith would be tested probably far more than our faiths will be tested. We read about it in Hebrews chapter 11. Here it goes. But it was by faith that Abraham obeyed God when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land that God had promised them, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. God said to him, I'm going to send you somewhere. I'm going to send you to a land. I'm promising you this land. I want you to go there. But he didn't give him a map, and he didn't give him a Google app. He just said, I want you to follow me. Follow me to this land. And it says that Abraham didn't know where he was going. How far will you go if God calls you? How far will you go if God calls you to follow him? How far are you willing to go? Are you willing to let God lead you into a new place and into a new space? Because I think for some here today, God is leading you into a new place. And I don't mean physically, but I think in your heart and your experience and your life, God is leading you into a new place. Don't resist that call. Can I get an amen? He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land that God had promised him, oh, this land is all going to be yours, Abraham. When he gets there, he's living in a tent. Hello? He gets a tent. He doesn't get a house. He doesn't get a palace. He doesn't get a mud hut. He gets a tent. And he has to keep on moving around inside in that land. But every morning when Abraham gets up, he gets up every morning, he washes his face, he brushes his teeth, whatever he does. He says good morning to Sarah, kisses on her head, brings her breakfast in bed, because that's the kind of guy that Abraham was. He brings her breakfast, and then he opens the curtain of his tent, and he steps up and he goes, this land is my land, this land is your land, from Gaza City all the way to Sidon. He's looking at the land and he's happy that he owns all the land. But like, hello Abram, you're living in a tent. Like, no, you think you own the place, but you're living in a tent. He says, yeah, don't worry about that. God said he's going to give me all this land. He's going to hand all of this land to me. But you're living in a tent. Sometimes we have to live in tents, brothers and sisters. Some of you here this morning, I wonder, when will the door ever open so that I can get a house or an apartment? You may have to live in a tent for a little while, but if you prove faithful in the tent, God will open the door for something greater for you. I got an amen. Amen. He was living in a tent, he lived there, but he lived there what? By? He lived there by
faith.
It is by faith from first to last, all the way. There's no bit in the middle that we go, no, this is my part. No, God says it's all my part. Say, no, this is my part. He says, no, it's all my part. And as we're moving through life, we're saying, no, I want to do this. And I want to do this bit, Lord. And he says, no, well, you can do it, but you're going to make a mess of it. But if you leave it to me, I will sort it out. It is by faith from first to last. And when he went into this country, even though he didn't own a square foot of that land, he lived there by faith. He expected God to do things. You know, He lived there by faith in the way that you and I have to live by faith if we trust in God. Did you know that? Do you know why you have to live by faith? Because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You really don't know. This is your life. This is your life. You're on the road. You're on the road today. But tomorrow is a fog bank. You don't know what you're driving into. None of us knows what's going to come. Maybe we're going to be taken away to be with the Lord tomorrow. Who knows? Maybe tomorrow we're going to win something amazing or get an incredible breakthrough or a terrible setback. I don't know your life and I don't know the plan that God is working out in your life, but I do know this. He owns tomorrow and he's able to take care of your tomorrow. And so you don't need to worry about tomorrow. And we have to come back to what the apostle tells the early Christians in Corinth. He says to them, he says, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk because we put our faith in what God has said. We walk because we put our faith in God's promises, not because of what we see in front of us. And that's what Abraham did. He walked because, but he walked by faith. He kept his eyes on God. He didn't put his eyes on himself. He didn't put his eyes on the circumstances. He put his eyes on God, and then he followed God where he led him. And so he lived by faith. Do you know what it is to live by faith and not by sight? It means to be able to move around in the dark and trust that God is leading you. That's what it means. It means to trust God even when the way ahead of you is dark. When our kids were small, we developed this habit because we didn't want to wake kids and have them crying half the night. And that was that we would move around the house in the dark when the kids were asleep. So when we got up during the night for whatever reason, you know, sometimes you'd get up to the night to go to the loo. Nobody here ever does that, I'm sure. You've all got perfectly sacred bladders, I know. But sometimes I have to get up. At 58, it starts to happen after a while. You need to get up and go to the loo. But I never turn on the light at night. And so here I am 25 years after my kids are all grown up, and I'm still going around the house in the dark. So I wake up, and I'm going around the place. Let me put on the mic for a second. So I get up out of bed. And I walk around the room, my eyes are closed because I can't even open them because I'm exhausted tired. And I feel my way around, I feel the wall. Feel that wall? So I know, no, that's not, I'm not going to walk into that wall. And I feel that wall. And then I reach up and get the handle. And I pull open the door and I know, unless somebody has put something on the landing, everything is going to be okay. If I just walk out and turn left, I'm heading towards the loo. Everything's going good so far. I reach up and touch the handle and then go into the loo. And I walk around the place in the dark because I know the way around. So you can trust in the one who... I'm sorry, I do forgive, technical issue. I know my way around because I've walked this path many times. And when I notice in my life what God is doing, I know this. I've walked this path many times before in my life when I try to figure things out, but God rescues and moves in. I don't live by what I see right in front of me, by the circumstances that are right in front of me. I live by faith. It's the only way to walk the Christian walk. Can I get an amen? Amen. So, we walk by
faith.
Good. Because I was going to take you down to the faith thing again if you didn't, okay? We walk by faith and not by sight. And for some of you today, what you see is not pleasant. It's difficult. There's a trial in there. There's a difficulty in there. There's waiting in there. There's patience in there. There's trouble in there. Today I want to say to you, the Lord wants to say, fix your eyes on me, not upon your circumstances today. Just fix your eyes on me. I will open the way. I will show you the way to go. That's what God wants to say to his people today. Let me continue on. Poor old Sarah. Poor old Sarah. She's in her 90s. She's in her 90s when she's having this baby. It goes on to say this. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and she was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. I know it's repetition this morning, but repetition is for our learning. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
God wants you to hear. It is by believing. It is by trusting in God. It is by putting your faith in his promises. That's the way that we live the Christian life. A whole nation came from this one man, Abraham, who was as good as dead. He was as good as dead. A nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. That's what she went through in her 90s. That was the experience that she walked through in her 90s. And the further away the likelihood of this happening, the greater her faith was. The further away the likelihood that humanly this was possible, the more faith she had because she took God at his word. He took God at his word. You see, many people think that this is the way that we live the Christian life, with our head in the sand, hiding from reality. And we say, no, I'm not in trouble. No, I have no issues. I'm not going to confess negativity about my life. That is a load of nonsense. We have to face reality. We have to face truth. And we have to look it squarely in the eye. Whether it's a habit or something habitual, whether it's a relationship that is just not right and needs to be fixed, sorted, or abandoned, whatever it is in your life, you must face it. Because you can't change anything that you don't face. Nothing in your life will change if you don't face what needs to be changed. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I look at this, the author and writer, James Baldwin. He was a civil rights activist and writer. He was an American. He lived in the 1950s, 60s and 70s. And he said this. He said, not everything that is faced can be changed. But nothing can be changed until it is faced. Amen. Nothing can be changed until it is faced. Until you look at it face to face. Until you confront either yourself or others. Until you look at face to face, there's going to be no change. And your faith needs to face your circumstances, needs to face your lifestyle, your habits, or your behaviors. If you truly want to follow God, you will have to face some harsh realities, even about yourself. And it's always joyous, isn't it, when that happens? When we have to look ourselves in the mirror and go, yeah, maybe I'm not the great guy that I thought I was. I'm not the great girl that I thought I was. Who knows? You know your own life, but nothing can be changed until it is faced. And so Abraham, he faced his situation. He looked it squarely in the eye. He said, my body, I'm goose, man. I don't get nothing to give. And poor old Sarah's sitting there, and she's going, well, you carry a baby? Really? I can barely carry a bag on my back. Are you kidding me or what? They faced that fact, and then God moved. Today you may need to face something. The Lord is calling you. And if your heart is there, if you have ears to hear today, God is speaking to you. There may be something that you need to face, a conversation that you need to have, a situation that you need to address. It will change if you face it by God's grace. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay, the final test of faith for poor old Abraham. So Abraham has a son. In actual fact, as the old song goes, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. And I'm one of them, and so are you. So let's just... Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Left leg, left hand, right hand. Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. You are a child of Abraham. You are a son of Abraham according to the promise. That's what you are. You're a son of God, but I make you are a son of faith in Abraham. But Abraham gets the test. Isaac comes along. Sarah calls him laughter. They call him laughter. He laughs because Sarah laughed when she heard the promise. When God visited Abraham and said, this time next year, your wife is going to have a baby. Sarah goes, ah, you've got me a what? I'm going to have a baby. Are you kidding me or what? And she says, how is a woman like me supposed to know such pleasure? And she laughs. And then the boy is born and they named him He Laughs. Hallelujah. He must have been a happy child. He was always giggling and laughing, I should imagine. But then the Lord says to him one day, Abraham, do you know Isaac, that son of the promise that you gave? This is what he said, actually. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice. When God was, what was he doing? God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Can you imagine the confusion in Abraham's head? What kind of a father walks his son up a hill outside Jerusalem and sacrifices him? Oh no, hold on. We know a father whose son went up a hill outside Jerusalem and was sacrificed so that we could be free. Hallelujah. But God would not leave him in the grave. He raised him up on the third day for our redemption and our rescue. Hallelujah. But Abraham must have been confused. Why is Abraham confused? Because God had called him out of a place called Haran, where they worshipped all sorts of different kind of gods, calls him into this land of Canaan, where there's two specific gods that are named. Chemosh is one, Molech is the other, and it wasn't uncommon for them to sacrifice their firstborn children to these gods for prosperity, for health, for wealth, success. It was quite common that they would do this. And now God says to Abraham, I want you to do the same as the Canaanites. Like, that's kind of confusing. Lord, I thought that you were different. I thought my life was going to be different. Now that you've given me the son and that everything is going to work out. And sometimes it happens in our life. Trust me, I know God fulfills a promise in our life. And yet still there's more tests in relation to the same promise. Sometimes it happens in our lives when God has fulfilled one part of the promise and we only begin to experience the true test of our faith as life goes on, having seen part of that promise fulfilled. Same for Abraham. And the Lord says, he says, like, what? Sacrifice my son? But like you said that this was the guy who was going to be the fulfillment of the promise. I know, said Lord, continue. I want you to go and sacrifice him. And it goes on to say this. And Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, listen to this reasoning, God was able to bring him back to life again. Like, so he sharpens a knife. He takes this son. By the way, when you think son, you're not thinking little baby or little infant or little toddler. You're not even talking really about a teenager. Some commentators, the commentators I've read, some of the old commentators reckon that based on the biblical narrative, the age of Isaac was somewhere possibly between 33 and 37. 37 years of age, right? I'm going to sacrifice you. You know what? Imagine your dad. My dad didn't ask me anything at the age of 37. My dad thought I was dead when I was 37, for goodness sake. I'm going to take you and we're going to sacrifice. No, he didn't say anything to him, obviously. He said, look, come on, come, you go. And they go up on the mountain and they walk to this place called Moriah, just outside modern day Jerusalem. They go up on Mount Moriah. And Abraham leaves the servants behind, and Isaac is kind of getting a little bit sus about this whole situation, no? They're walking along going, da, 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 da. I see the timber, I see the knife, I see the ropes, anybody see? So, Dad, where's the lamb for the sacrifice? And Abraham says, excuse me, he says, just a second, no, Isaac. He says, the Lord will provide us a lamb. And all the while, Abraham's thinking, you're the lamb, Isaac. You're the lamb. And so they carry on up to the top of the mountain. And next thing Abraham says to Isaac, he says, you might just stand still there. I'm just going to tie you up. Sorry? Sorry, what? I'm just going to tie you up. Do you mind? It's just like, just go with it. Just go with it. Okay, Isaac's thinking, this is getting a bit weird. And then Abraham says, would you mind lying on top of the timber just for a second? Would you be okay with that? Just lie down. Everything's going to be fine. Just lie down on top of the timber. Everything's going to be fine. And so Isaac kind of goes, okay. He's kind of totally going, this is getting weirder. Wait a minute. And he's lying on top of the timber. And next thing he sees his dad take out the knife and look at him really sad. And he sees Abraham's eyes well up with tears. As he looks at his son on that wood. And he takes out the knife and he raises it high over Isaac's chest. And then the reality is dawning on Isaac. And just as Abraham flinches to bring the dagger down on his son's chest, an angel appears and says, Abraham, Abraham, stop! Don't touch the boy! Knife drops from his hand. Says Abraham looked up and there's a ram stuck by the horn, stuck in a thicket, unlucky ram. It says Abraham sacrificed him instead. But all the way he went, all the way to lifting the knife up over his son's chest. That's faith. That's faith. That's faith. Sometimes God says to us in talking to parents, we have to let a child go to let God do what he needs to do. Sometimes we have to let them go to let God do what he needs to do in their lives. And the Lord says, all the while that Abraham's doing this, he's finding it hard. You think it was easy for him to go up that mountain with his son? Easy to raise up his knife over his own son? The son he loved? But he said, well, God can bring him back to life if that's what he wants. Hallelujah. God can bring anything back to life God can bring your situation back to life. He looked at Abraham's body as good as dead. He brought it back to life. He looked at Sarah's womb as good as dead, and he brought it back to life. He looked at Isaac lying on the wood, and he brought him back to life. And the scripture says that in a sense, he received him back. In a sense, he actually did get him back because he was willing to surrender him in the first place. Sometimes the very things that we surrender, God brings back into our lives. The very things, the relationships that we lay down, the situations that we leave behind, God brings them back to life in our lives. Have you got a situation that needs to be laid down in God's presence today? Have you got a situation that needs to be put down today? I want us to pray one of two prayers in a second. The first is this: Lord, as the disciples said, increase our faith. Will you increase my faith? That I would have more faith in your promises, that I would have more faith in your word. And the second is, Lord, give me the grace to lay down what it is that I need to lay down in my life. Give me the grace to let go of what I need to let go. Second last Bible verse. Here we go. So the promise is received by?
Faith.
No, you're doing it again. What is the promise received by?
Faith.
Yes, and it is a free gift. What is it?
Free
gift. You don't earn it, and we are all certain to receive it, says the writer. Whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like Abraham's, for Abraham is the father of all who believe. He's the father of all who believe. He sets the example for all of us who believe. So do you need more faith? Who wants to pray, Lord, increase my faith today? Would you want to pray that? I want to pray that. Who here has a situation need to say, Lord, I just need to leave this in your hand. I need to leave this difficult problem in your hand. I need to face this hard situation and leave it in your hands. Whatever hard situation you face, who here needs to leave a hard situation in God's hands? I see hands. Will you stand? We're going to sing and we're going to pray. But let me finish off with this verse before we sing. And then we're going to sing a beautiful song called All Your Promises Are Yes and Amen. Let me read this to you. For that you may take hope that God has good plans for his people. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
This is what it says from the Psalm, Psalm 84. For the Lord God is our sun and shield. He gives us grace and glory. Here's what it says. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. Can I get an amen? He will withhold no good thing. What joy for those who trust in you. Let's trust in God today. Let's ask him to increase our faith and for us to leave behind the situations that are too difficult for us to face. If that's one of your situations, you want to leave behind a situation that's too difficult to face, will you raise your hand? I'm going to invite you. If you also have a situation that you want to say, Lord, increase my faith, will you raise your hand wherever you are in the room? I'm going to invite you, just as we wrap up, as we sing, to come forward. We're going to pray together here at the front just as we wrap up this morning. We're facing a hard reality in your life, a hard situation, a fact that's really difficult to deal with right now. And you want to bring it before the Lord and say, Lord, will you give me faith to deal with this hard fact and help me to lay it down in your presence? If that's you, will you raise your hand? And can I invite you to raise the hard fact, as it were, in the other hand before the Lord. Let's raise it up almost as though like Abraham raised Isaac before the Lord. Let's raise it up before him and let's pray. Lord, for everything that we face today, Lord, for the hard facts for which we need faith today, Lord, we bring them before you in our hearts and in our hands. And we say, Lord, would you give us the grace to leave this situation in your hand? Lord, would you give us the grace, Lord, to trust in what your word says for my life and for my situation? Can I get an amen? Lord, we want to leave it in your hands and say, Lord, do your miracle work in our lives, Lord. Do your miracle work, Lord, whether it be deliverance or you strengthen us in the situation. Whether you change the circumstance, Lord, or whether you change us in the circumstance. May we have faith in this situation that we face, Lord. We lay it down before you. We commit it into your hands now in Jesus' name. And the people of God who brought that situation before the Lord said a mighty
amen.
Amen. We're going to say a mighty
amen.
Can we pray that God would increase our faith, whatever it is that we need that faith for? Even if you're down in the body of the room and you want to pray this, will you raise your hands before the Lord? Before we get to our final prayer today, let's pray. Lord, your disciples who stood with you, Lord, and listened to you, Lord, and walked with you every day. One day exclaimed, Lord, they probably did it many times, increase our faith, Lord. And you said, if you have faith even as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, go and be cast into the sea and it will happen. Lord, we pray that though we come before you this morning with small and weak faith, our faith is in our strong and big God. Our faith today, Lord, is not in ourselves or in our abilities, Lord, but we pray that we would have greater faith in you, Lord, to see your purposes and plans brought to pass, and above all, your promises fulfilled in our lives. Lord, today I pray we wouldn't turn away from facing what we need to face, Lord. But as we face into the coming week, I pray that we would know your amazing grace at work in our lives. Could I get an amen? Amen. We pray, Lord, we would know your provision and your protection. And we would know your presence. And above all, Lord, we would know your peace in our circumstances. Knowing that our God is an awesome God. That our God rules heaven and earth. That our God can fulfill his promises even to the ends of the earth. Even beyond our weaknesses, God can fulfill his promises. So, Lord, I pray that as we go here today, we would go expectant of your work being done in our lives and in our hearts and in our circumstances. We pray this in the one and only mighty name of Jesus. And the people of God say,
amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance and give you his peace in Jesus' name. And finally, God's people said, last time.
Amen.